Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Optimize My Life, the ultimate radio show where we unlock the secrets to living our best lives. Now, before we dive into this exciting journey of self-improvement and empowerment, I want to take a moment to thank our incredible sponsor, The Hope Collection, for making this show possible. Their unwavering commitment to spreading hope and positivity in our lives is truly remarkable. We believe in the power of interaction, so we want you to be a part of this incredible journey. Call in, write to us, or connect on social media. We'd love to hear your questions, experiences, and challenges. Together, we'll create a thriving community of like-minded individuals, supporting each other to thrive and shine.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ron Clayton, the host of the Optimize Your Life radio show, brought to you by the Hope Collection and the Golden Rule Society. We are here today discussing, we call it Travel Tuesday, and really it's incorporating what is a great aspect of life, which really creates excitement, enthusiasm, creates unity, and allows people to flourish in many aspects of their life, and more importantly, make this a better world. I'm joined by my partner, my friend, my spiritual guide. He's an incredible gentleman. His name is Rick Reese. He's a former officer in the Air Force. He runs really an outreach. He's a leader in the area of spiritual guide and growth, and that's through Marketplace Ministries, which relates the idea of being able to utilize and help individuals transform and empower themselves by utilizing the tools, the gifts that God gives us through utilization of travel opportunities and the program of travel. So I want to bring Rick on board. He's an incredible, really a leader and a hero in today's world, and I'd like you to know him personally. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for the introduction.
You're welcome. I always try to find words that best describe, and any given day when we hold the show, we open it up, the list of things that come to my heart to describe the many attributes that you have introduced and shown in our lives since we met you and were introduced by a mutual friend. And, it's funny how many times third parties have such an influence in our lives, and we always want to recognize that because they didn't have to do that. And when Joel introduced you and Brenda to Lynn and I, it changed our life. It really
likewise.
Did. And so we're walking down the road here together, Rick, and what we've done is we intentionally made a decision that, number one, we were going to work together, accept the opportunity, the challenges, the opportunities, the different aspects of understanding our lives were brought together by really one person, one being, that being God, and that we acknowledge
Amen.
That in every way in our life, and we're not ashamed of that. In fact, on this show, we proudly proclaim it, and it has had extensive influence in how we're living today, and without what we chose to follow, and that's what it is. It was a decision. At the time, I can't tell you that I sat down thinking, I didn't battle, I didn't try to, I didn't get a piece of paper out and put, what's good on this side, what's good on that side. I think people that do that are wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is be honest with yourself and recognize if you see something that gets introduced to you, that God's in it, number one, and that you sense a trust and you sense that it's going to benefit and then just make the decision. Do it, because you know what? You can always change your mind. But you know what?
That's
if
right.
you find that God is guiding you and leading you, we found out before we ever met Rick, we found out if we follow where God would want us to go in our lives, and we just submit to that. We
mm-hmm.
give credence to the fact that we understand that God wants good for us. He really wants us. Christ shared he wants us to have an abundant life. That's why he came here. And so people that go like, well, if I do, well, I don't know if I should. There's a couple things that happen to people like that. If you be a yeah butt, you could be a professional yeah butter. And a professional yeah butter becomes mature. And you know what that is, Rick? That's an if I do. If you stay yeah but long enough, you become an if I do. Well, that's hindsight. And if hindsight is out there long enough, you end up someday I'll, which means never. And now what you are is a wandering generality. You're not making any progress in your life. And following that little, you know, thought, you can put your foot down. A lot of times, on the negative side of things, many times people call it a line in the sand. Well, it was never
Amen.
That long. It was never that for us. It's just we looked into our hearts. We looked into our inside. We prayed together and said, hey, God does want us to improve our life. And you know what? I don't see anything else on the horizon that's walked in the door. We stopped going out in the backyard looking for four-leaf clovers a long time ago. You know, we just came off St. Patrick's Day. You know, he loved the luck of the Irish and four-leaf clovers. They don't cut it. It just doesn't cut it. And we learned a long time ago, you can't move through life with that kind of a throw the dice. You need to understand that there's two plans in life. One of them wants the good. I look at my shoulder and I go over here, and that guy says to me, Ron, we want you to be great. Let me help you. And on the other shoulder it says, nah, you're not good enough. No, you don't know enough. No, you can't do that. All that kind of crap. That's what it is. So who do we choose? Every day we get up and we decide, we ain't going to listen to that guy. So then we call people like you and say, Rick, what do we do? How do we do it? Where can we go? What we can do? And you have been trained, you've been led, and you have demonstrated following that plan to expose to thousands of people around the world and ways to improve their lives and improve and make a difference in this world. You do it. You and Brennan do it every day. And we just got
Amen.
Lucky. We went to the right. We went to the right train station, and we got on the right track, and we got on the right train.
Likewise, you know, it is so true. It is so true. The first time I heard Joel, the founder of the Hope Collection, Griffin, on the radio show with Burl Walk, and he was talking about the Hope Collection and the things that we do in paying things forward. I said, I got to get involved. And you talk about the track. I'm like, I got to get on that track. And Joe called me, because that friend and I was on the show too, and we were speaking. We was talking about travel, and Joe was talking about the Hope Collection. And so I, you know, Joe wanted to know more about travel. And I mean, out of the blue, after one of the shows, Joe called me, and I went, whoa, hey. And I wanted to get more information on what you're talking about. And we must have talked over an hour. And like you talk about getting on the right track, I was able to get on Joel's track. We were able to join tracks. And of course, that track led to you and Linda and so many other things, and of course, Mary and everybody else. But making those decisions, you know, to do the one thing, you have no idea what's behind that for the next thing. You know, you get the next step when you take the first step. And so for me, that was taking the first step towards the direction of hope. And you guys was on the track. And all that we're doing now was on that track. And it's amazing. I was talking to Mary the other day, yesterday and earlier today, and I learned a new term. Ron, I learned a new term, and I don't know how long this term has been around, but neurodivergent. neurodivergent. And I had never heard of that before. I guess it's just a new designation now. And Mary, if you're on, would you please, because we were talking about neurodivergent travel. So this is Travel Tuesday. But is this the week or month for neurodivergency awareness? If you could talk about the neurodivergent. Huh?
She just clicked on, Rick. Let me open her mic. Good afternoon, Mary, and welcome aboard.
Welcome. Sorry I'm late. I had my gas guy is coming to look at my dryer. Hopefully he can fix it.
Your timing is perfect because we just now talked about a new term. You taught me neurodivergent. And in our discussions on neurodivergent travel, being Travel Tuesday, but your timing is like perfect. We just talked about it just now. I let you know in the whole scheme of things, our timing is perfect. But we were talking about neurodivergent. Is it neurodivergent week, month?
It is neurodivergent week, which opens up.
What is neurodivergent? What is neurodivergent?
Neurodivergent is anybody and everybody who has a condition where it changes the pathways in the brain. So ADHD, ADD, autism, severe trauma, anxiety, depression, all those different things that causes you to act differently and changes the pathways and how your brain operates, thinking differently, is all considered neurodivergent.
And you said PTSD?
PTSD, post-war syndrome, are all in that category now.
Wow, that's huge. How big of a problem would you say that is? Is that, if you were looking at, I don't know if they have a percentile population, U.S., global.
In children, 1 in 25.
That's pretty high. That's pretty high. And
But the problem is what the categories and how they fit in the categories now has been so broad and open for funding to help with the schools, which is reason why the numbers are so much higher. A kid that normally wouldn't pay attention in class because he was bored, instead of looking at him and finding out why, they automatically diagnose him with ADHD.
And then now he goes down another path.
Correct.
Well, I just think it's great that we are here.
What's that?
I said, I just think it's great that we have a format, a foundation, a platform that we can share many, many aspects of assistance for individuals and families. And Mary, you've led the way before we even met. You already were involved with that as a mom of children who have some challenges, and you've been leading and studying, and you went in, became certified to be able to not only be a certified life coach, but a certified agent, a certified consultant, a certified advisor for families. And there might be more titles. There's so many of them that we can place it to, and with all of your expertises in your heart. Now, let me put that right up front. Your heart is so incredible.
Yeah.
And you lay yourself out there and have made it so that we have been able to expand. The Hope Collection has an outreach that's dedicated and committed to helping families. And I'm just so proud that, you know, you were presented with an idea when we met, and you saw how we could merge together our energies, our efforts, our visions, and be able to take steps going down the road even further and farther. And got to tell you, the board is filling up with people calling in to speak with you today, and Rick and myself to talk about. We have kind of dedicated this day to kind of talking about some of the situations that you're dealing with and the programs that you have introduced, and we're expanding them, and we're finding new ways to be able to help families be able to deal with these circumstances. Most families that have children with issues like autism and these other areas, they don't travel. They don't go anywhere because they go from doctor to doctor and, you know, the whatever minimal things there are to do to keep their sanity, they do. And it's kind of like they're sheltered from the world. And what we do, because the theme of our today is travel, what we do is we use it to help expand and grow and help children grow and become. I love the fact we had your kids drove 14 hours last spring from Minnesota to Buffalo, New York. They were incredible. They're wonderful children. And we didn't know any better.
Theoretically, I put those kids in the situations all weekend long that you would never consider putting an autistic kid in. We had them iron-packed schedule, doing things nonstop. They were around different people nonstop, surrounded all the time. They were always doing something. There's a lot of noise. Every possible trigger point for a autistic child, they experienced that weekend. And David lasted all weekend up until Memorial Day itself.
When you say lasted, you mean he didn't have an experience. Sometimes you can use the word meltdown, or you can use that he had a challenge that he was having trouble dealing with because of, as you said, you exposed him so many things. I mean, like you said, most kids, how many kids even get an opportunity to go sleep on a Navy ship in a memorial, in a park, a naval park? How many kids get to go and participate in putting 7,500 flags out around a memorial, then participate on a stage saying the Pledge of Allegiance 1,000 people and have to be there during a speech given by a rear admiral and original Top Gun? Then they got a chance to go to experience going to a restaurant and one they never been to. We just had an incredible time. We walked in with 50 people and said, hey, can you serve us lunch at noon? And I'll tell you what, this pizzeria, they dropped everything and they served us. And we had all these children, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, and then children that had autistic situations. And everybody was just, it was fun, and there were no issues, there was nothing to be embarrassed about, everything. The kids were just magnificent. Then we came back after the program, after church, I think it was, I got my dates mixed up here, but we opened our backyard, and we had, I don't know how many people in our backyard. We had a big cookout, and we don't have swing sets and kids play things and climb on. We had nothing but some chalk for the kids to play with. We had these kids running around and having all kinds of fun. There was no fights. There was no problems. It was just wonderful. The only problems we had were the adults that sometimes didn't act as adults. But other than that, we had just a wonderful time, Mary. And it demonstrates, first of all, it gives a lot of credence to the fact that you have led for many years and you demonstrate a leadership quality to be able to help people in unusual circumstances and then deal with us on top of it. Well, Mary,
you know
that's
what's
all
beautiful?
About making. Go ahead, Rick.
I was just saying that is such a testimony and a testament to the things, Mary, that you're doing. Obviously, it's working. And you had made a comment to me the other day that if you didn't know, you wouldn't know that my kids have autism because of how they interact and how they act. And they're not different, so to speak. And you've done a good job in your technique. The techniques that you're using are obviously working. And that's why we really need to do something. And that's in meeting Sam and the whole folks that I've been introducing you to. he's willing to, you know, to get the word out of what you're doing. And in fact, he's going to put your link, or put a link to your services on our platform, on our website, so that that companies, businesses, individuals who are looking for solutions, you know, in the area of neurodivergency can contact you. And so that's going to be a big deal. And you know, the conversation that I connected you with but a couple of days ago, where you had a chance to meet Pedro, who has a school down in three schools down in Miami. And, you know, he was all ears when he was talking. And what I appreciated most about what you were saying after listening to him talk and the techniques he's using, and you said, well, I don't agree with that approach. And talk a little bit about the two approaches and what he's using, but now wants to consider what you're doing. Talk about the approach that's the national standard. And the approach that you work and use.
So the traditional ABA therapy, which is applied behavioral something. I keep forgetting the last A. But the biggest problem I have with this is
Applied behavior analysis.
Thank you. Is that, one, you're not teaching children to think for themselves. You're teaching them to respond to commands. And so you're creating a robot. But the other big part of it where I have the biggest issue with is they're old school in the sense that they believe in restraining a child who has a meltdown. When they have issues, you physically restrain them, however possible. Children have been known to be hurt being restrained. Scientific approaches and data have shown that actually moving with them and helping them, like if they're kicking their legs, they end up wearing down faster than you fighting them. It's like that adrenaline slows down, so they're not pushing that adrenaline as much. And what I've come to realize is the programs that I use, theoretically, technically, that I've created are a different form of ABA therapy.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
The big disclaimer I have on my stuff is that mine is a hands-on approach, which means as a parent, as a teacher, you all work together to work the consistency to do it together.
And that's what's needed, because one of the problems that Pedro had mentioned is that it's pretty much two worlds. You know, the child's at school, and one world, you know, that's supportive, assistant. And then he goes home and pretty much on their own are classified, looked at, you know, categorized in a whole another way where, like you're saying, the two come together where the school and the parent, you know, have something that they're both in agreement with to treat the child. And so that it's not that separation. And I believe Pedro is really open to learning more, you know, about the techniques that you're using, and that have proven to be successful. I was looking at the term neurodivergent, and it was just saying how, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on this, but it says how there's no single normal way for the brain to work. Everybody thinks that it just works one way, but there really isn't. And there's no right or wrong, per se, you know, and being able to diagnose, you know, an individual and how their brain works, and then being able to put a treatment specifically together for them. Does that make sense?
No, it perfectly does. And that's why first thing I do is I tell you to lose the labels. Let's look at the issues they're having. Are they having speech issues? Are they having sensory issues? Do they have meltdowns? And the second step is learning and figuring out how they learn, how their brain is wired. And you teach them to how they learn. Then you start getting them to regulate so they're not having the meltdowns. You understand the way they're talking. it's all a process, but you break it down to little pieces. And the coolest part is when it comes to neurodivergency and autism, Norway's cutting edge, but they're going old school. Because the first thing we forget in a lot of these therapies, and this is where I don't agree with them either, is that you put a child as young as 3 years old in a room 5 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week with a worker. So they're losing their whole childhood to learn to be normal by our standards.
That's interesting. Is that that's the practice?
That is the practice with ABA therapy. That's why I refused to do it, because it was very important for me, for my children, to have a childhood and be kids, to learn to play, to have imaginations, to screw up.
To be free.
Yeah.
So is that something that can be practiced as a practice, practically? Or is that just you as a parent who knows information? Is that something that can be multiplied or duplicated practically?
Oh, yeah.
You're doing?
What I do is I teach the parents how to do it. So, for instance, emotions. A lot of kids with on the scale or neurodivergent have issues learning and understanding what emotions are. And so if you remember the movie Inside Out, they explain emotions in colors. And so I've taken that and took it one step farther. And what we do is I turn into a hopscotch game on the floor. And so Matt is red, for instance. Now you're Matt. The biggest question you need to ask your kids, especially when they're having these meltdowns or these issues, is everyone always asks why. Why did you get upset? We do it to ourselves. Why? Well, when you say why, that's an emotional response, and you're never going to get an answer, especially from these kids, because they work in a logical world. When you ask them what caused it or what happened, that's the logical standpoint. Then they're able to understand, all right, so you decided to think you're so smart, you can defy laws of gravity. Usually my son has a meltdown because things fall over because he tries to defy gravity. And so now you ask the questions of what do you need to do do you want to be calm or do you want to be happy? And you jump on these pieces of paper on the floor to get to calm or happy and with techniques.
That's good.
Because kids learn better by hands-on approach, but it also they learn better by real-life experiences. So when they're dealing with that experience, they're in that moment. And there's times, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's times where kids just need to have a moment and have a meltdown. That's okay.
Hey guys, if I can chime in on the meltdown, it is very important. This is Georgette, you guys' neighborhood gym dealer and dope healer and mom to an extraordinary super powered kid. And those meltdowns Those meltdowns are very necessary, because during those times we can learn to better communicate with our children, because this is their time to communicate that something's not right, I'm not regulated, it doesn't feel good, I need assistance, this is weird, this hurts. This is the time, so honor the meltdown, because mommies have meltdowns too. I was listening to you guys talk about the terms and on which what we call our children. And
Mary
said, it's all about the language. Yeah, the labels and language that we use. I no longer call Gage autistic, because he told me he was not autism. He told us he was not autism. He was artistic, and that I need to call him as such, because that is his superpower.
How old is
he? He's 11 in a couple of weeks. In 2 weeks, I will have an 11-year-old.
That's smart.
Yeah, he told me I officially cannot call him autistic, because That's not what he is. He is not a label and a leader. He is not a label. And I also wanted to touch bases on the ABA therapy and the things that I think parents are not all the way equipped with. But if they take these classes, like Mary and myself, we get really engulfed in our children and their learning and their growth and development, that we get certified in different areas to better assist our children. So what I have created in Atlanta, Georgia, is a resource hub for all the resources that are not available to the family members in the underserved communities in Atlanta. And what that looks like is me being the liaison to bridge that gap from ABA therapist to client, physical therapist to client, occupational therapist to client, art therapist to client. I teach yoga and art. My certifications are for geriatrics and people with superpowers. And so we have came to the conclusion that, you know, building your own village is better than trying to actually go out and find resources. Sometimes you just connect with like-minded individuals and say, hey, you know what, my son has this, my daughter has this, well, what do you do, who do you do? And we begin to make a web of resources. We can cover a bigger ground, have a broader audience that we can really show some assistance to and make a difference in these new children that are coming up, because, you know, 10, 20 years ago, we didn't hear the term autistic a whole lot, or neurodivergent is the newer one. We didn't hear these things. So now we're hearing of these things, and people are like, well, what is that? Well, how do I know if I'm on it, on the spectrum? And I'm here to tell everybody we're all on the spectrum. It just depends on how well you function throughout chaos and malice, or how you function through sensory and touch and hear and feel and things of that nature. So I just want to put my little two cents in out there.
That is so powerful. One of the questions or the comments that Pedro made, and Pedro is the president of a school, and he's got three schools that he works with down in Miami. And he was just saying how it is a community. It is a village. And so as you was talking, I was just thinking, because in bridging the gap between the therapy and the client and the family, that's a huge gap, typically. And usually it's on and off, black or white, you know. It's a hard stop.
Sure.
And nothing in between. Mm-hmm.
Thanks to you and your connections, the gap will be smaller, because we're working on putting together an app that everybody can talk together on and keep on the same page.
When you say you're working to put together an app, what does that mean?
That means that it's going to be an app designed for teachers, occupational therapists, speech therapists, OT, mom, dad, everybody who is involved with that child will be able to go on an app and communicate each other. It does not. But thanks to your connection with Sam, it's in the process of being put together.
That's what I was leading to.
It's in the works.
We have resources.
Wait, the resources find you.
But now the thing is, though, that's not even, and we won't go into the other one, but yeah, that's huge. You know, it's amazing, because it's, nothing beats real-world experience in going through something to learn something. What they say, the mother of invention. Nothing beats going through. And a lot of times people don't want to go through something, but they don't realize it's really you're in training for reigning in school to rule. And it's something that people generally would say, not volunteer, let me go through this experience. But every experience or crisis represents an opportunity, you know, to grow. I really love what you were saying, Georgette, as a model for community. you know, for all communities, including, of course, underserved communities, but it's really all communities in that model of connecting the community, you know, with people who may be challenging, you know, being challenged in that same way, and so that they have the support system beyond the traditional support system, but that takes it down to the village. And I believe every village should have that as a support system, and that's needed, you know, because most people keep it quiet. And I don't know if that's because of whatever, you know, shadow they think it may cast for people to know, but most people keep it quiet. But if you've got a support system that's reliable, that you can trust people, that's huge, that you can learn. And as you mentioned, that has resources that you can use real time. And then, of course, Mary, you saying, of course, the application, the app that can connect that village. I know we went on a cruise, MSC cruise, and they have an app for communicating on the ship that only works on the ship. But it provides all those things. If you want to find a family member, if you want to find a location, if you need resources, but it only works on the village of the ship when you're out at sea. You know, I still have the app on my phone, but it's of no use. But if you've got that kind of app that can unite a village, how powerful is that?
Man, it's happening. The developers are working very hard because we know we have things like AirTags and different finder devices, but we need to be able to communicate with these. Something that my family, that we do, we have a little traveling sensory kit. Mary and I were talking about this, how we, you know, they might need to have emergency sensory kits in the airport. But I have, like, my little emergency sensory kit. It may have a few spinny toys in it, plushies, squeezies, melatonin, lavender oil, peppermint oils for calming and soothing. I may have an extra, like, a little game or something in there, like a little bit of first aid kit. I always have a snack. And most importantly, a walkie-talkie. Walkie-talkies are so important. Just like you were saying, even if you're on the ship, walkie-talkie works. The moment that walkie-talkie is not with you, you know you have a problem. But we also do air tags in my family. Everybody has an air tag. My 80-year-old dad. My 11-year-old
What's
son.
An air tag again?
So an air tag is a tracking device that Apple has implemented. It's very small. It's a round circular device. If someone has one, it would alert you that this air tag has been following you. Are you aware of that? Because it lets you know, because you can air tag somebody, crazy people, have air tag people to follow them, stalk them, and things like that. I just know Gage is getting older. There's a park about a 4-minute walk away from my wellness hub, and he likes to walk to the park. I simply clip this on him. I can track him. And even if he has his phone, that's another source of communicating with him and being able to know his whereabouts. But something so small as that AirTag, people are not really looking for those. But Mary and I were thinking of other clever ways to implement the tags on the children's clothes. Maybe you sew it in their coat pocket so it can't be seen. Gage has locks, so I made him a lock jewelry, a piece of jewelry to put on his hair, and it looks like a piece of jewelry, or maybe it looks like a necklace pendant, but really it's a tracking device. So these things are muy importante when traveling with your superpowered human.
That's
Georgia.
Good. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, Georgia. My name is Ron Clayton. I'm the president of the Hope Collection and the board. And
of
I want to introduce
Mr.
myself
Ron.
And welcome you.
Thank you so kindly.
To the show. We, as you know, in talking to Mary and I have been speaking with her also, then we're looking forward to expanding our relationship and our communications and look forward to talking with you some more. The Hope Collection has been committed to helping families. Well, our title is We Help Families. Our title is Helping Others by Helping Them Help Others. we look forward to multiplying the impact of what we're doing. And one of the things, we are a resource. We are like an umbrella. What we try to do is connect people with solutions or organizations or people to make it happen. One of our longtime partners in support has been an organization called Easter Seals. That's been around a long time. In fact, there's many organizations that partner with Easter Seals for fundraisers, all kinds of stuff. But they have specifically committed as an organization nationally to support families with autism. And they actually have, and I know in Rochester, New York, which is about 100 miles away from my house, they have a school they've converted into a serviceable organization. Area families can take their children there on a day-to-day basis. And they have special programs, and that's equipped to be able to handle, because kids have different levels of autism and how they need to be handled. This organization locally in Rochester also has permanent housing, because sometimes some children reach a point where they need to have 24-hour, 7-day care. So that's just one example, and I've worked with them. I one time was part of the board of the Easter Seals of Rochester, New York, but that was a number of years ago. But I still support the organization well, and we want to let people know that if you're out and you're looking for resources for help in this area, you can connect and you can go directly to Easter Seals in your area, or you can reach them through us in the Hope Collection. And we want to continue and grow wherever we can our relationships and our resources. And that's what we do. We promote it. We as an organization, that's what we've been committed to, and we're growing that area. And it just came along when Mary joined us, a couple of years ago now, Mary, I guess it is. I can't remember when you weren't here. And you are so absolutely vital to expanding our platforms we operate through and be able to reach out. And our whole goal is to become that kind of a resource in this country, around the world, but basically 93 countries of the world we broadcast the show from. The radio show, Optimize Your Life, goes out, and we've been committed in broadcasting. We have over 1,800 archived shows that we've done. We operate Monday through Friday, and then we have the Week in Review on Saturday morning. But Monday through Friday at noon Eastern Time, we broadcast the show each day with a different theme. And so today, as we're talking about travel and how we can introduce and expand, Mary, would you agree that showing and operating the tool of travel can incredibly revolutionize the progress that children can make, utilizing the vision of having in a family, parents, mom and dads, or just moms or just dads, if that's the case. But having a leader in that household that has the understanding of vision of how travel can impact their lives. Mary, how does that strike you?
Sorry, I was muted.
Well, I was going to chime in for her. Go ahead, Mary.
Here's the cool part. Most parents don't take their kids that are special because of the hassle it takes. But when you work with these organizations, you work with, Ron, you did so much to help us coordinate with everybody to let them know, so we had backup plans in place. And a lot of people didn't know this, but that second day we were there, we couldn't find David. And within 2 minutes of me hanging up the phone with the cops, they were already at the hotel searching. The hotel was already going through cameras looking to see if he walked out of the hotel or where he was. And granted, we ended up finding him. But, there are people out there that are willing to help you.
You had support because we had let them know that we were going to have this group of children and parents that were coming in from Minnesota, and they'd traveled a long time, and you had extended circumstances that we needed to be prepared for. We did that. We did that in advance, and it's great to have a team that can be aware of it. Most of the time, most people are so busy doing everything and anything in their lives, and if they're parents of children with autistic or similar situations, they are so, you are so much more aware all the time because you have to be. But those of us that are kind of around the outskirts of all dealing in these situations, we became more aware. It now allows us to be more, not less of a hindrance and more of an ally. And all I know is that when Princess and Luke Skywalker, that's Mary's children, when they came to our house, all I know is I never knew from start to finish. They were here. They were playing. They had some toys that they, David brought his little animals, and we had gifted him a little. He loves animals, so we made sure he had his own special animal. He's got a zoo. And all the other kids found different things, but they all found a way to get together. And like I said, for hours. I'm not talking about you walked in and walked out. You were at our house. We had a cookout. We had food prepped. We got everything like that. And people just chipped in that were here and really made it. Everybody brought food along with the food we prepared. It was a great celebration of family. And I just love how the unity of the spirit of the people that were here. And, you know, you have all different kinds of people and personalities, and some of the people had never traveled before. And they didn't necessarily have kids who were autistic or having issues. Some were just brats. But they were still able to be fun. And the parents, some of the parents were harder to deal with than the kids. But that happens.
Well,
that happens in any group when you do things.
I don't know if you knew this or not, Ron, but the color guard. So at Memorial Day, as the kids are lining up for the ceremony, you know, the color guard, Ariana was having a hard time with her clothes because of her sensory issues. So the color guard actually stood up and pulled her aside, talked to her, and negotiated with her and showed her a trick on how to fold her shirt right to hide it so it looks like it's tucked in, but it's not, and gave her a high five and walked her through the whole thing. You know, we had, you know, generals that were keep an eye on the kids and talking them through when they got overwhelmed.
That's great. Amazing.
It's incredible.
I learned something here today, Ron. I didn't know Easter Seals was so closely providing services for, and they call it, Autism Spectrum Disorder, ASD. And mm-hmm. Easter Seals is the leading provider anymore. The Easter Seals is the leading provider for those services across the United States, Easter Seals. And if you get a chance, go to EasterSeals.com, their website, and you're going to see all the different resources. They are the country's leading provider of services for people with autism spectrum disorder, ASD, today. I didn't even know that. And they've got resources across the board, local as well as national. Yes, Ron?
Well, I want to let you know, I want to explain to you the roots of Hope Collection's relationship with Easter Seals. At one time, Joel Artist's daughter, Quinn Courtney, actually worked for, she was a representative for New York State as an Easter Seals. She was a fundraiser, a community leader out of Rochester, New York. And for years, she ran that position and program. She ran all kinds of golf outings and fundraisers, all kinds of stuff. And the annual Christmas Seals fundraiser with a Christmas ornament raise and function. So we became very close, and Joel, our organization, we did and promoted and supported the organization. On the other flip side of that is that what they've done to us has included us, and that's how I got connected with Easter Seals and working with them. And so that's why I have been such a promoter all along of who they are, and I want to share with you actual event that occurred. I happen to speak in churches. I'm a Gideon, something I do outside of work and church and business and everything. And it's a cause that I've been a part of for many years. And I speak in churches, or I used to speak in churches all over. And what I would do is I would tell them what their the Gideon organization does, which, by the way, has put Bibles in all over the world, places, hotels, and mission teams and all that. Well, anyways, I was speaking at a church in Syracuse, and on the way in that morning, it was a cold, rainy fall morning, and this van, broken-down van, held together with duct tape. You've seen people that take duct tape to hold on the doors. This was a broken-down old plumbing van. This couple gets out, John Father, and gets out, pulls out of the back, a broken-down wheelchair held together with duct tape, and he goes over the side, and he lifts his child out, puts him in the wheelchair, and takes him into the church. And I was speaking that morning. When I got done, I went up to them, and I didn't want to embarrass them or anything like that, but I talked to the father and mother, and I asked them, do you have a resource? I see, you know, I'm trying to say, be nice about it, but their wheelchair was held together with duct tape. It was shot. And I asked them, do you have no resource? And he shared with me, he was embarrassed, and I tried to not, you know, we talked. And he told me that he had filed through different government organizations and different outreaches and things. And everybody told him that, no, he didn't qualify because he owned a business. Now, he's a one-man operator plumber. You know, he's got a wrench in one hand and a plunger in the other. And his van, his tool to work was broken down old. And you could tell he wasn't some guy making $100,000 a year. And so, but he couldn't get a wheelchair for his kid. I made one phone call. I asked him, can you get a prescription from your doctor for your son for a wheelchair? He says, I could get one tomorrow. I said, you do that. I called Easter Seals. Wednesday morning, they lived in Syracuse, New York. Monday morning, Easter Seals delivered a brand new electric-powered wheelchair to that family.
Wow.
No charge. No charge.
How about that?
I get goosebumps from repeating that story. I've done it for years. And just to let you know the power of this organization that can make a difference in your lives. If you have a congenital issue with a child, and even the teenage years, they can help. They will help.
They can help.
Yes, some of the programs
we
do are.
Yeah, EasterSales.com. You know, while we've got about maybe 7 minutes, one of the things that I also wanted to talk about, since it is Travel Tuesday, is neurodiversity travel. And that's also something that we was actually talking about, being able to offer to communities, to schools, to organizations, to even like Easter Seals, to be able to set up different trips that are customized, you know, for the client. And so I just did a little research. I'm going to just share it with you real quick of neurodiversity travel. And this type of travel involves accommodations and strategies that cater to the unique needs and preferences of neurodiverse individuals to ensure a more comfortable, enjoyable experience. And because of your background, you can actually put together those kinds of trips and offer them, you know, as opposed to just mixing, you know, people that may have a special need, needing that customization, mixing them with everyone. And, you know, you've seen it where the people are like, why do we have to wait? Why do we have to do a timeout here? You know, but being able to exclusively put together that group trip. Here are some consideration tips I just wanted to cover real quick for neurodiversity travel. And Ron and Linda, I saw you guys really being able to focus on something like this, maybe even in support of Mary, and what she's doing is she's reaching out, you know, to share her unique abilities and things that she's learned with the schools, and even with Pedro down in Miami. But here are some tips: preparation and planning. Because of your background, you know exactly how to plan those trips, the visual schedules, the maps, the detailed itineraries, accommodations. And Ron, you remember you was talking to the one hotel, or identified the one hotel that is friendly, you know, autism friendly or neurodivergent friendly, and being able to identify those hotels, you know, that have friendly, sensor friendly rooms with features like dimmable lights and weighted blankets and noise-canceling headphones. Transportation and being able to, as you mentioned, in the airport, being able to have an airport sensory kit. And like you were saying, Mary, in the airport, being able to have the airports designate an area for kids to, you know, that may be going through episodes or whatever the case may be, but to have that privacy. Sensory considerations, talking about tips for neurodiversity travel, sensory considerations and being mindful of sensory sensitivities. And again, bringing noise-canceling headphones and sunglasses or other sensory aids. And I like what you were talking about with the travel sensory kits and what goes into that little backpack, including, of course, the walkie-talkies. And speaking of that, communications, ensuring clear communications, and as you mentioned, the air tags and all the different things that, you know, taking this into consideration and being offering this as a package, great market for it. Routine and familiarity in building and putting together this itinerary. Try to maintain routines and incorporate familiar activities our items into the travel experience to provide that sense of comfort and stability. Flexibility, being prepared for unexpected changes and see if it's a group that everybody knows, you know, there may be some changes, there may be some unexpected things we got to account for, but it's not going to be a surprise. And people will, of course, the parents will be like, okay, yeah, that's expected. Research and researching the destinations. Ron and Linda, I see where you guys come in because you guys do that so well and so excellently. Support resources, identifying support resources that are available at the destination, such as local autism organizations or disability services, just in case you need assistance, you know, for that group. And then self-care, remembering to prioritize self-care for both the neurodiverse individual, their parents, and their companions, and being able to allow for downtime and relaxation to prevent that overload. Your kids did great going to Buffalo, Mary, because all the things that Ron mentioned, oh, my Lord. By considering these tips and making appropriate accommodations, neurodiversity travel can be a rewarding and enriching experience for everybody. It promotes inclusivity and ensures the individuals with diverse neurological profiles can fully enjoy the wonders of travel. And that's what we're talking about today. And what the things that we have talked about today represent a great opportunity because there's a need out there for it. And so the timing is now. That's one of the things that we always look at. What are the opportunities that exist? And then how do we fill those needs? Back to you, Ron.
Well, I'd just like to thank everyone that's on the call today. I know we have a number of listeners, and I hope that you've been blessed by what's been shared, and that if anything strikes your fancy, get back to us, any one of the leaders on the calls. The call into the show is 714-816-4686. We do dual meet every day, Monday through Friday at noon Eastern Time, and you're welcome to call in and ask. And although today we had this topic is so important, and as an issue is growing in so much, and I see the Hope Collection and being really instrumental in some of the new things that are going to be going forward, including fundraising, all kinds of projects that we have the ability, opportunities to help support. And sometimes many families that are dealing with really are having some income challenges. Well, we can help them with that too. And so I'm just thankful and grateful that we were able to have this show today and that everybody who's participated, please don't just listen in. Join us. By the way, you can sign up. Go to thehopecollection.com and register. Become a member so we can connect with you and send you information of all new programs that are coming out. And our website is being updated as we speak, and you're going to be surprised what's going to be available. We already have some great services listed. But there's more coming, guys. So thank you. Appreciate your being on. Don't be a stranger. And by the way, I'd like you to do something really great. Invite someone to the show, even next week. Got to wait till next week? Okay. But you can come Monday through Friday. Lots of other shows. And I ask that you pray, say a prayer today for folks that may need today their really they're at their wit's end. And let's be an answer for someone. Let's help someone help somebody else by helping them. Let's do that, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate every single person on the call today. Bye now. Mary, thank you. Georgette.
Thanks, Mary.
Rick.
Thanks, Georgette.
Hey, peace, guys. Thank you all so much.
You're welcome. Bye now.